And we give you praise for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And during this season of Lent, we especially remember his great sacrifice for us. God, we pray blessings, God, upon each person here and that have come out to worship you and to say thank you to the Lord. Everything may not be well with all of us at every time, but yet, Lord God, we know that you're with us, for you promise never to leave us nor forsake us. So speak a word now for us, Lord, a word of hope, a word of love, a word of peace. Lord God, a word that we could hold on to. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And you know, when we just heard that song, and it was beautiful to play it on the piano, right? Good job, Rosemary. That was so beautiful. Here I am, Lord, and well done, choir. And sometimes we think, we hear that, you know, all these newer songs, and we forget how beautiful those hymns can be and those words, right? Oh, it just touches your heart. You could hear that play and gives you hope to go forward. Does it give you hope to go forward? It's just me. Here I am, Lord. This is I, Lord. Beautifully done. Just beautifully done today. And I thank you all for that. Thanks be to God for that. Now, the word of God is always beautiful, because even when it's correcting us, there's hope for us. In it, there's always hope. And today my sermon title is, you know, A Psalm of Praise and Lament. And if you look at the bulletin, you know what psalm it is, right? You heard it read in the scripture. And I gave you a nice little spring-like bulletin. Didn't I give you a spring-like bulletin in the middle of winter? I wanted to perk up all your spirits. When I looked at this picture online, I says, that's the picture. Makes us know that it's coming. And it says, one thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, and that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And here you all are in the house of the Lord, dwelling in this place. And so as I begin my sermon for today, let me begin with this story, because I really want to focus on lament. It says, this story, this reflection is titled, Partially Paralyzed Man Offers Modern Day Lament. On June 22, 2007, a hit-and-run incident left Daniel McCountry paralyzed from the waist down. Daniel says that since that traumatic day, God has not healed my affliction, but he has taught me the power of lamenting to him about it. He adds, to our detriment, one of the most overlooked portions of the scripture in modern day America were the Psalms of Lament. However, David repeatedly demonstrated that laments make obvious our intense faith in God, that he can and will intervene in our time of need. They demonstrate just how deep our relationship with the Father really is. After all, we don't communicate our grief and mourning to strangers. We save that for those we truly love, we truly know and love. With these words in mind, here is a lament that Daniel wrote nearly a year after his accident on April 9, 2008. Now, it's a very long lament, and it has been published with the authority of the author, but it's very long, and I'm not going to read it. It's many verses, but this person who was hurt and paralyzed wrote his own lament as he would seek comfort from God. And he begins by saying, O Lord, my God, why do you wait to show up? I cried out to you when trouble struck. I asked for your restoration. I know that you heard me. I know that you answered. Yet nothing of meaning happens again today. Infinitesimal changes dog my days. I am hounded by the prayers of the fickle, looking to me to prove their faith. Wearily I drag on, tiring of the waste, hating the horror, the pain, the suffering, the never-ending trial. The endless story drags on and on and on. When will the clouds break? When will the night cease? When will the turmoil end? When will you smile again? And he goes on for so many verses. And then he gets to the end and he will remember God. He says, who am I that God should remember me? My only salvation is that he should not forget his image or let his word be broken. He's faithful to us because he's faithful to himself. But one day, by his promise, I will stand, restored as his message of hope is fulfilled. The Lord will turn this hour into a fading dream, and I will honor his name forever. And so he writes this lament to bring him through this period. A lament or lamentation is a passionate expression of grief, often in music, poetry, or song form. The grief is most often born of regret or mourning. Laments can be expressed in a verbal manner where the participant would lament about something they regret or someone they have lost, usually accompanied by wailing, moaning, and or crying. Over 60 of the Psalms, 60 or so Psalms, are regarded as lament Psalms, either wholly or in part. They are communal laments which speak on behalf of a body of people, such as a congregation. You see that, or as a nation, perhaps. And you see that in some of the Psalms, they're called corporate lament. As the children of Israel would come into the temple, and they would lament before God. They would mourn and cry before God for whatever condition was happening in the world. And when 9/11 came, as I think of it now, and many were going to churches and going to their synagogues and their places of worship, they were going to lament. Those were times of lament. Even though we did not call it that way, there were times of lament where people were seeking God, crying to God, weeping before God. Individual laments are written from the perspective of one person, using the first person pronouns rather than second person. And so we find that in the scriptures, individual laments are more present than communal laments. That means people, more of the scriptures, David's Psalms of lament, are mostly individual laments, and they said they might have been kept in the home rather than used in corporate settings. And so today, as we look at these laments, we will understand in this Psalm 27, which is going to be my focus today. I want to, before I get to Psalm 27, to read this another reflection briefly for you. And it says, a woman who always prayed the same prayer. Pastor H.B. Charles tells the following story about a woman he knew who showed up at church and prayed the same simple prayer. She would say, "Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus." She prayed week after week. And the kids at church would start laughing every time she opened her mouth because they knew it would be the same prayer. "Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus." Finally, somebody asked her, "Why do you pray the same prayer?" She said, "Well, I am just combining the two prayers that I know. We live in a bad neighborhood, and some nights there are bullets flying, and I have to grab my daughter and hide on the floor. And in that desperate state, all I know how to cry out is, 'Oh Lord.' But when I wake up in the morning and see that we're okay, I say, 'Thank you, Jesus.' When I got my baby to the bus and she gets on the bus and I don't know what's going to happen to her while she's away, I cry, 'Oh Lord.' But then when 3 p.m. comes and that bus arrives, my baby's safe, I say, 'Thank you, Jesus.'" She said, "Those are the only two prayers I know. And when I get to church and God has been so good, I just put the two prayers together and I say, 'Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus.'" What profound words. They're prayers who don't have to be long to mean much. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus, and God knows everything that comes in between. And her prayer was a prayer of both thanksgiving and praise and a lament. The O Lord is a lament as she cries out, O Lord, and the thank you, Jesus, is thanksgiving and praise. Today in Psalm 27, we have both. Psalm 27 is said to be a psalm of praise and lament. Verses 1 to 6 of the psalm is a psalm of praise. David is feeling confident. It's a triumphant song of confidence because he knows a God who have helped him in the past and a God who will help him in the future. And so David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. And then he goes on. He says, he talks about when people rise up against him. My heart shall not fear, yet I will be confident in the Lord. And then in verse 4, it says, one thing I ask of the Lord that I will seek after is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble, and he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. And I think of those, that songs of praise, that psalm of praise, and it reminds us of when our life is going well. Things were going well for David. Some writer says he had just been delivered from his enemy. And that when it's going well, we have this great thanksgiving and praise to God, don't we? Because things are going well, we could praise God. Our jobs are going well. We're in a reasonable portion of health. We're feeling good, and all is well. And so we have this confidence in God. He would say, now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices of shouts and joy. As we have come today to worship God and to give God thanks. The Lord is his deliverer. David's triumph and his confidence in God is shown in those verses. And then the psalm changes. It becomes a lament. Verses 7 through 12 will become a lament. David begins to weep. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. And as I think of this part of the lament, you know, I think of a lot of the older folks who are going through, and even some young folks. And as I was at the nursing home, I said earlier this morning, when I went to see Mr. Wixon, as I think of all the years the Lord has blessed that family, blessed him and his wife. He's 94 and she's 89, and she's given God thanks. They've given God thanks and praise. They were always here. They were here in maybe the beginning of January, or maybe it was December, and always singing his thanks of praise. You know how we love that song, Because He Lives. I Can Face Tomorrow was one of his favorite. He would always sing it for me, want to sing it for me when I went to his house. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, he has all the hope in the world. And now in this part of his journey of his life, there is his lament. As I think of him being the nursing home, and surely as they go through this part of their journey, it is their lament to cry out to the Lord. And you know, church, God gives us the opportunity and we have the freedom to lament. That's why 67 of the Psalms, that are 150 Psalms, are laments. Lament, so that we have a place to go. We have a place to go, not because we're Christians, but we could take it to the Lord in prayer. Not only can we take our grief to the Lord in prayer, we could weep before the Lord. You know, we live in a culture that we want to believe that because we are Christians, everything is going all right. But it doesn't always go all right. And we need to be able to tell God that. And God allows it. The Psalms, the Lament Psalms, are giving us the opportunity to understand that it's okay to weep to Abba Father, our Father, to go before him and weep. And so at this nursing home, there was this woman, and she was just wailing. I didn't know what she was wailing about because she wasn't speaking. And she was just wailing, an older woman, and wailing, whatever the hurt and the pain. And I just said to myself, that's her lament. She's weeping to God, because she, they said she was a Roman Catholic person. She had on her cross, and she was holding it, and she was just wailing and calling and just wailing. Her time of lament. And you know what? God is listening, and God is going to be there with her. And we have to be reminded of that, because we get so afraid sometimes that if we're a Christian, we should always be blessed. Everything has to be perfect. If we're a Christian, we are ashamed to say that we're hurting or we're sick or something has happened to us. But it happens, and God knows it. And when we're angry at God, God knows it. God is not confused. God doesn't slumber nor sleep. Scripture reminds us that before we can think it, he knows it. And while we're saying it, he already knows it. So when I am upset with God, I'm upset with something that happened in my life, I may not be upset with God, but at that moment I'm upset with what has happened, or I'm hurt, or I'm burdened. The fact that I don't lament it, go before the Lord and weep to him, guess what happens? Doesn't mean that God doesn't know. You may not know. You may not know, but God knows. God knows that I'm in pain. God knows that I'm not that pleased. God knows that I am confused. God knows that I am scared. God knows that I am worried. God knows that I am unhappy. And I could lament before the Lord. You can lament before the Lord. David would go and he says, do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me. Have you ever just prayed that? It is good to go when you're going through. You get to Psalm 27, you find one of those verses. And like David, who was what? What did the Bible say? He was a man after God's own heart. That means if God could care about David, so, and David has lamented a lot in the Psalms, we have the freedom to lament. We have the freedom to say, God, we don't get it. And I will let you know, I was having some tests done, just regular checkup at the end of beginning of the year. And you know, you no matter what you go for, if you go to check your finger, you're worried they're going to find something wrong with your whole hand. You don't know. So, you know, you get a little bit worried. You doctors are smiling. You know what I'm saying. They call you in and you start saying, oh, God, help me. Oh, I'm always lamenting. And I go to the doctor. This is what I'm saying. I'm like this woman. Oh, God, help me. Please, God. As I'm walking in, please, God, help me. Please, if I'm getting the mammogram, please, God. I'm constantly. Sometimes I must have told Missy that God said to me one day, all right, now, I've got other people to take care of. You've called on me 10 times in 1 hour. You know, because I'm just calling and calling. I know he says, there's other people with other problems. Now I got you. But I am calling. So, you know, I had this little test. It was an endoscopy, just regular checkup. And you know, you can't come out of the thing, you know, whatever they give you. They're giving you a little needle, and then you think they're going to be talking to you, and then you wake up, and it's finished. So I didn't know it was finished, but it was. And the doctor says, oh, everything is fine. And I started to weep. And he said to me, why are you crying? It's good news. And I said, because I am well. That's why I'm crying. I am so blessed and pleased that at this moment in my life, I'm well. And he's Jewish. He loves the Christian church. I'm going to invite him here. And he said, that's all right. You don't have to cry. The tears were coming because it was a release of my lament, because I'd been holding it in. Oh, God, please let it be fine. God, let everything... Even though I am a woman of strong faith, let me tell you, my knees get weak when you have to go to all these tests. And Lord knows when they tell you to come back. When they tell you to come back, right? You start praying for days. They tell you, come back. We haven't really seen. We want to see. You start worried, and that's, but there's a place for that with God. There's a place to be able to go to God and say to God, God, I'm scared. I think many of the folks are holding on to things, and we feel like we have to have everything all together, and we can't say, but there's a place to go to God and say, God, I am scared. God, I don't know what's going to happen. God, I'm worried. God, my mother died. My child died. And I can't get through this alone. We have to give people, remind people of the freedom to lament before God. That God doesn't get upset with us. We're not being disrespectful to God when we lament. Many of us here are parents, aren't we? When our child comes to us weeping, what we want to do? We want to help, don't we? We want to figure it out. We want to make it right. We want to make a way, don't we? We don't chase our children away, do we? No, most good parents don't. We want to take them in our arms and we want to wrap our arms around them and say, we'll work it out together. What, you bought a car for $90,000? You may have to go to jail, but we'll work it out. I'll come visit you. We'll work it out together, whatever it may be. You know, the kids get, you know, they get these fancy cars and they can't pay the car loan and they call you up. And he says, I'll visit you in jail and I'll bring you snacks. But I'll be there for you, you know. But whatever it is, we want to journey with them, right? And when things are going right with them, we rejoice with them, right, don't we? We're glad when they do well in school. This is what a lament is for us. When we're weeping, God is the best father or mother, whichever way you want to take God, mother or father or both or whatever it is. God is the best parent there is. The best parent. So when we go to God with our lament in tears, I think God is moved by our tears. Right? I think God is moved by our tears when we go before God in private in tears. We see Jesus being moved by tears. The widow of Nain's son being moved when she lost her only son. And so sometimes we come to church and everything has to be, if we can't lament here, church is said to be the greatest, should be the best hospital in the world. That when we come with our pain, we could bring it to the Lord and weep before him. And nobody should be criticizing us. Nobody should be have to be wanted. Why is she crying? I'm crying because I'm in church. You don't know what I'm going through. I'm bringing it to the Lord in prayer. I'm weeping because have you ever got down on your knees before God and lamented to God? And when you got up, you feel so good. The problem has not been solved, but yet you feel better. So you see David lamenting from in this psalm. And then he gets to the end of the psalm. And he gets to about Psalm 13 and 14. And he is reminded in 13 and 14 that God has helped him in the past. And the same God who has helped him in the past will help him again. That's what happens for us. The same God that will help him, that helped him in the past, will help him again. He says on verse 13 and 14. So the psalm is broken up into 1 to 6 is the praise, and then 7 to 12 is the lament, and then 13 to 14 he says, I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. All of a sudden, after a guy gets his lament out and he has already cried to God, he realized, I've got to wait on God. God is going to be with me. God is going to bring me through. No matter what I'm going through, this is the God I am, that I believe in and I depend on. Give me the strength and the courage that when I go to visit an elderly person or someone who's sick, this is the God that I am trusting in. That no matter what, he's going to be with them and he's going to bring them through. Is he going to bring them through the way I want? Maybe not necessarily. He's going to bring them through the way that is best for them and for their will, for his will, for their lives. But when that's what gives me the strength. People will say, you do a lot of visitation. I know, I have my little Celeste who is constantly telling me, you got to stop running and running. And she says, you know, and she, sometimes I drag her along with me to someone to drive. I says, oh, Celeste, I just can't drive. I'm going to get lost on Long Island. Go with me here. But, you know, the strength is not my strength. Because the days that I get so weak, I get into my car and I says, oh, God, not another person. But the strength is from knowing that God is with them. Do you know that God is with them through that journey? You know, Richard Wicks has been faithful to God, hasn't he been? And Shirley Wicks have been faithful to God. What kind of God would that be who would not be with them? But the promises are here that he would be with them. That he'll hold their hands. And we can't be there with them this Sunday. They'll hold their hands and he's going to take them through this journey until he calls them home, whenever that time is. He's going to be with them because they have been faithful to him and his church and his work, and he will be faithful to them. And we weep for them and we pray for them in our prayers. And the same thing applies to you and me. And so we see Jesus in the gospel. The only piece of that gospel story that I want to lift up today is that our Lord and Savior, who's our example that we live to follow, he lamented himself. That is subtitled in the Bible, that section, Jesus' sorrow over Jerusalem. He lamented over Jerusalem because what? They would not accept him as Lord and Savior. Jerusalem would not. They rejected him. And he says, oh, I want to hold you in my arms, so to speak. Oh, I want you. You are the people who will kill the prophets. And he weeps over Jerusalem. He laments over Jerusalem. We see in the scriptures, Jesus on the cross lamenting. One of the great scriptures of lament, the one line, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was Jesus' lament. My God. In that one moment, he felt forsaken. It's okay for us to feel forsaken sometimes. Oh God, David says, aren't you hearing me, God? I cry out loud to you, my God, my God. And then he will realize God has really not forsaken him. We have to have the freedom to grieve before God, because so we will get release. I want Jesus to walk with me. That's the song we're going to sing. I want Jesus to walk with me. On this lonely journey, Lord, walk with me. When I'm in trouble, I want Jesus to walk with me. That is a song of lament. It's an African-American Negro spiritual of lament. I want Jesus to walk with me. In many of the older traditional churches, like ours, there always is a liturgy of lament. Every Sunday there's a liturgy, because there are people who come hurting and need to be able to weep before God. So, church, if you're feeling in your heart, folks, that everything is not right, that God hasn't shown up, or you didn't see him, or you don't think you see him, or he's not there, the Bible says the silent years. God did not speak from Malachi to Matthew. But he was speaking, but folks wasn't hearing. If you come to church today and you're not feeling as if God is hearing everything you've been asking for, it's okay to lament. If you've been diagnosed and you're scared, it's okay to say, oh God, have mercy. It's okay to say, like this woman, oh Lord, sometimes you can't say much. I says when people are really grieving, they can't say much. Do you know that, church? We are never verbose when we are grieving. You don't have time to give a full soliloquy. You can only say, oh Lord. And he knows what the oh Lord means. Oh Lord, have mercy. Oh Lord, hear my prayer. And when it's well, we say, thank you, Jesus. When it's all worked out, he has healed you, brought you through. The results are better. Whatever is happening, you say, thank you, Jesus. And so most of our lives, we're living with praise and thanksgiving to God and laments. And during Lent, we should be lamenting before the Lord for things we ought to do that we haven't done. Oh, Lord, I am sorry. A lament can be also for our soul. Oh, Lord, I am sorry. Oh, Lord, I have not done what I ought to do. Forgive me. Help me to do better. And he will. Oh, Lord, you know, I wasn't as good as I should have been last year. Whatever it may be is our lament. And the Lord will listen. Because he knows he has left all these lament for us. So we understand that. And so may you feel the freedom to weep before the Lord whenever you need to and release everything to him, as the songwriter says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Amen. Amen. Will you now stand, please, on your